Welcome to Writing the Wrong Way, where we talk about writing works, how writers work, and why the best writers risk being strange. And David Lynch and his co-writers are some of the best writers. And I always use in my writing courses a film clip, this scene from the movie Lost Highway. And I use it as an example of a perfectly structured scene. It's just a brilliant, perfectly structured scene. I highly recommend before you watch that scene. So in Lost Highway, there is a scene, which I'll link to in the description below this, of this podcast, or below this video if you're watching it online. So again, this is a scene in the movie Lost Highway. It's a scene where Bill meets the mystery man. Bill Pullman's character meets the mystery man. And I think it is one of the truly great scenes ever put on film. And it is a perfect example of how to structure a scene well. So I'm just going to walk through that one scene and just sort of discuss how that scene is working, what you can learn from that scene. And if you like this kind of analysis, this kind of discussion, if you like, you know, kind of discovering things that you haven't maybe heard of before, these great, you know, little recommendations, my recommendations for your artistic consumption, go to strangeinc.ca and sign up for my newsletter. Stranger Fiction is my company. Strange Inc. is my newsletter. And that's where I share my writing with you, tell you what's up, give you writing tips, point you to the stuff that's new, like the new podcast that's out, the new interview with somebody that's out, whatever, and just kind of keep in touch. You know, strangeinc.ca is a newsletter, but it comes directly from my email. You can reply to it and it goes right to my email. It's a great way for us to stay in touch. It's a great way to kind of get a sense, for me to get a sense of what you're interested in, what you want to learn more about. And I think it's just a fun, you know, little piece of writing. I try to make it interesting for people. So check out strangeinc.ca, sign up, get a free ghost story, keep in touch. And now, without further ado, let's discuss the mystery man introduction scene in Lost Highway. Lost Highway, we have a scene that I've given you as an example that I think is one of the most interesting and best structured scenes that you could possibly find anywhere in any story. So Lost Highway has some potential, it's got some problems as a story, although I do like it overall. But this scene is incredible. And just when you watch that scene, it probably will not make a lot of sense to you in terms of the overall overarching context, but I want you to understand a few things about it and to look at it really closely. I'm going to walk through sort of some of the more significant aspects of it here. So one thing just to understand about this scene is the context in which you encounter this scene in this film. What has happened here with Fred is Fred and his wife have been receiving threatening communications where basically, you know, they get a videotape left on their doorstep. As you can tell from the cell phone in this film, this is a bit of an older film. So they're, you know, getting VHS tapes. He wakes up one day, goes to get the mail, there's a VHS tape on his doorstep, puts it in. It's just the outside of his house. You know, somebody's just filmed the outside of his house and then tape goes off. And he finds it strange, thinks, well, maybe that's, you know, a real estate agent or something. Anyway, he finds it odd. He doesn't think too much about it. Then he gets another tape. Now, another little kind of piece of the backstory here is that Fred is suspicious that his wife might be cheating on him, having an affair. He doesn't know that this is happening, but he's suspicious that this might be happening. So he's kind of, you know,
off put by this initial videotape. He just finds it weird. One, because it's weird, but two, because his wife comes up with, like, I don't know, maybe it's real estate agent. He's like, well, that seems like a strange suggestion. But you know, he doesn't think too much about it. He's got bigger worries. Like I say, he thinks his wife might be having an affair. Then he gets the second videotape, and the second videotape pops it in. It's the same as the first. It just shows the outside of the house, coming closer to the door where he found the videotape. Then it cuts. Now they're inside the house. And not only are they inside the house, the video comes to his bedroom where it's, you see him and his wife asleep in bed. Somebody has recorded them, left the videotape outside for them to find. This freaks them out, right? They call the cops. The cops are no help, as cops never are helping in movies. The cops, for example, say, well, you know, is your alarm on? And he's like, no, I've been turning the alarm off. Because he's like, well, why is the alarm off? He goes, well, it kept going off. There was nobody around. So we stopped setting it. Now, of course, the cops and Fred immediately put together in their head, some guy was setting their alarm off, creeping outside their house. The reason he came in the house is because they turned the alarm off. So the guy's like, well, you know, he might want to turn it on. They're no help at all. Don't take him seriously. So this is sort of, now Fred is at a party with his wife. His wife is kind of drunk and falling over, you know, some other guys that Fred kind of suspects maybe she's having an affair with. He doesn't know, right? But he doesn't like this party. He's not having fun. You know, she's having fun. She asks him for a drink. In the scene that you're looking at, I've cut out a little, there's a piece cut out of it, which is just, you know, her asking him to go get her a drink. And then he wanders over to get the drink. Keep in mind the backstory here. Fred's at a party. He's not having fun. His wife's asked him for another drink. He's going to go get her the drink, but he doesn't really want to get her the drink. He doesn't like these people at this party. He suspects one of them is having an affair with his wife. So before he meets the mystery man, he has it in his head. Somebody at this party is having an affair with my wife. Now he sees this mystery man, right? And he immediately starts to get suspicious of the mystery man. Because keep in mind, separately, there's this person sending videos of them inside the house. Fred is, of course, thinking this might be the guy having an affair with his wife, or, you know, something else is going on, but it's very disturbing. So that's the sort of context. So let me just walk through the scene a little bit. So again, Fred just walks towards the bar. He asks for two double scotches neat. So the reason he's asking for two, of course, right, is because it's one for him, one for his wife. The guy gives him the scotches. Fred drinks his, and then he drinks his wife's, or he drinks his, you know, his down, and then takes another one, you know, that he starts to drink. So already we're kind of starting the scene with a bit of a conflict. We think initially, this is a bit of a misdirect, actually. Lynch has made us think that what, you know, he's going to do now is go back to his wife without her drink, or spit her drink or something, right? This is what we kind of think where the scene is going, but that's not where the scene is going. Instead, so Fred's sitting there sipping, and then he sees the mystery man. So the catalyst in this scene, what sort of initiates the conflict here, is the mystery man. Again, we're talking about the conflict structuring the scene, right? So there's these larger conflicts about, like, Fred and his wife are at odds. They're having problems and so on. But the conflict in this scene, right, in this location at this time, the conflict in this scene is created by the mystery man. So he comes to Fred and initiates a conversation. And what the mystery man says to Fred is, we've met before, haven't we? So the mystery man has initiated a conversation where he is trying to get Fred to acknowledge him as somebody that Fred knows, and somebody that knows Fred, rather. But Fred doesn't know the mystery man and doesn't want to acknowledge him. However, Fred is, you know, does want to know who this mystery man is, right? So we have a bit of, but the mystery man doesn't want Frid to know who he is. He wants Frid to know that he is there, and he wants Frid to acknowledge that the mystery man knows Frid. But mystery man does not want Frid to know who he is. This is like a power dynamic, right? What's happening in this scene here, we have to think about, this is a clean scene in the sense that we have two characters, and the two characters are in conflict in the scene. So sometimes you have a messier scene than that, but the cleanest scene, right, is two people at odds. One wants one thing, the other wants the other thing. What does the mystery man want? You always want to be thinking in scenes, what do the characters want? You know, so what the mystery man wants is for Frid to acknowledge that the mystery man knows who Frid is. And in fact, the mystery man has a power and a threat. You know, he wants him to Frid to acknowledge him as a threat. Acknowledge his power, acknowledge him as a threat. That's what the mystery man wants. What Frid wants is to know who the mystery man is, but not cave in to what the mystery man wants, you know, acknowledging him as a threat. Again, think of the broader context here. Either, from Frid's point of view, either the mystery man is nobody, in which just some weirdo at a party, in which case Frid doesn't want to cede any power to him. He just wants, you know, the guy to go away. Or the mystery man is having an affair with his wife, in which case Frid, again, doesn't want to cede power to him. Frid wants to overpower him, get him out of here, you know, break the affair with the wife. Or the mystery man is the one leaving the videotapes, in which case, again, Frid doesn't want to be giving in to this guy. He wants to destroy him, you know, get him out of his life again. And Frid wants the mystery man out of his life fundamentally, right? He didn't know this mystery man existed. Now he knows he exists and he wants him out of his life. But the mystery man is there to say, not only have I been in your life longer than you expected, but I will remain in your life. And I am the one who has the power in this scenario. So this is sort of the thing in play. The mystery man wants a level of acknowledgement of his presence and threat. Frid wants to know who the man is and wants him to go away. So everything is sort of, you know, structured by that. So it starts out small, like I say. The mystery man says, we've met before, haven't we? And Frid, you know, this is the first beat, you know, here. You know, Frid, I don't think so. Well, the first beat technically is the mystery man walking up to Frid. You know, Frid sees a mystery man. Mystery man walks up to Frid. Then the mystery man says in the next beat, we met before, haven't we? Frid, I don't think so. Then he puts down his glass. Where was it you think we've met? And then the mystery man. So the mystery man has not gotten the reaction that he wanted from Frid, right? So he escalates. At your house, don't you remember? So not only now is he saying that they've met before, he's reiterating that idea, but then escalating it, like I say, he's adding where they met. And Frid denies it. So Fred's, you know, not giving the mystery man what he wants, right? He's putting up the obstacle, saying, no, I don't remember. Are you sure? So, you know, again, trying to negate what the mystery man said, putting the powerlessness back to the mystery man, like, I'm right, you're wrong, you're confused. And the mystery man is, you know, stopping that. Notice how they're both blocking one another, right? They're not getting the reaction from one another that they want. Because they're not getting the reaction from one another that they want, one, structurally speaking, in terms of how the story is put together, we need a new beat. They have to escalate, try a new tactic. Again, a beat is an action-reaction pattern. So if they take an action and get a reaction, if it's not the reaction they want, typically what they're going to do, you know, sometimes they'll just reiterate the action, but not normally. Normally, what you'll see people do in a story is take a larger action. So this is what the mystery man does. Of course, as a matter of fact, I'm there right now. So notice the escalation here. The mystery man has negated the idea that he would be wrong. No, it is he that remembers, not Fred. He's reiterating that idea. You know, don't you remember? And Fred's like, no, I don't remember. Are you sure? You know, no, you maybe your memory is faulty. And the mystery man's like, no, my memory is correct. You're the one who doesn't remember. In fact, I'm there right now. He makes this impossible claim. Now, Fred doesn't even know what to say to that. What do you mean? You're where right now? At your house. Here we have an example of the beat extending rather than switching to a new beat. So the mystery man starts a new beat saying, you know, I'm the one who has the right memory. You're the one who has the faulty memory. Not only was I at your house, but I'm there right now. So he makes an impossible claim of his power, an impossible claim that he is the one who is correct and Fred is the one who is wrong, weak, etc. Fred doesn't even know what he's talking about. So Fred's like, I'm confused. So he doesn't even know how he should react to this. He's like, what do you mean you're where right now? So he just wants some more clarity. Now, the mystery man doesn't have to change tactics. Fred hasn't denied what he said, right? He's just confused. Well, what do you mean? So the mystery man reiterates, at your house. So the beat is just extending here. We're not switching to a new thing. So the mystery man is not saying anything new, right? Then Fred reacts. He's delayed a reaction by being confused and asking for clarity. Now he reacts. His reaction? It's fucking crazy, man. Like, so now he's like calling the mystery man out, like, what you're saying makes no sense. You're obviously wrong. You are clearly crazy. I'm not the one who doesn't remember. I'm not the one who's crazy. You're the one who's crazy, right? So that's the end of that beat. But the mystery man will not cave into this, right? The mystery man reaches in his pocket. He pulls out a phone, hands it to Fred. That technically is part of the beat. Is a new beat, and then Fred takes the phone. There's that sort of moment where Fred's, you know, I want to just point that him taking the phone is also a reaction, right? He doesn't know why this guy's handing him the phone, but he takes the phone. So he's continuing to play the game a little bit, right? He's not going to refuse the phone because he doesn't want, you know, the guy's offering something. He needs to take it in order to continue to try to establish a dominance. He's not afraid to take the phone. The mystery man says, call me. So the mystery man is literally asking Fred to call his bluff. You know, if I'm bluffing, call me. Call me on it. Call me on this phone. So Fred accepts the phone, you know, dials the number. You know, the mystery man says, dial a number. Fred dials the number. Again, this is all like one beep that's extending out. Fred's, of course, you know, puzzled. He doesn't think, he's like, well, where could this possibly go that will work for the mystery man? You know, he's doing it because he thinks, of course, you know, this is going to prove this guy crazy. But, you know, he also is confused as to why he even needs to prove this guy crazy. He's obviously said something impossible. And then the mystery man answers the phone. I told you I was here. So that is the end of that beat, right? I told you I was here. So the mystery man has now gone on to prove that he not only is in front of Fred talking, but he's also at Fred's house. What more can Fred do other than acknowledge him, right? But Fred still doesn't want to acknowledge him. Fred still is refusing to acknowledge that this is real. The mystery man is right. He is the one with power in this, you know, thing that he's met before, et cetera, right? Although it's clear, of course, at one point, you know, Fred is sort of starting to kind of get into it here. So Fred asks him, how'd you do that? So again, the new beat, Fred's turning it back on the guy. Okay, what's the trick? You know, this is a parlor trick. This isn't real. It seems like you've done what you said. It seems like everything you're saying is correct, but it clearly can't be. So how'd you do that? Just let me know the trick. And the mystery man, I think, has probably the most brilliant piece of dialogue that I've seen in the movie. You know, this perfect piece of dialogue. Ask me. Now, in the context of the scene here is incredible. Fred asks him how to do that. And the mystery man says, ask me. Now, Fred has just asked him, of course, so it may seem confusing initially. But, of course, the real message here, the subtext here is like, no, no, if you want the answer to that question, you have to ask the me on the phone. You have to acknowledge that this is not a trick and ask the other me at your house somehow, you know, ask him that question. And then Fred does, you know, of course, Fred by this point is clear, is thinking that this is the guy out the window with probably by this point is like the concern with his wife, right? Maybe having an affair. Who cares about the mystery man? Who cares about the affair anymore, right? The mystery man is something else. He must have been the one leaving the videotapes, right? That's clearly in Fred's head. It's probably in our heads, right? And the videotapes are something else. So here's the other thing is like Fred has up to this point probably been thinking these videotapes have something to do with this affair I think my wife's having. But now it's been established that, oh, actually, there's something completely different and deeper happening here. So in this is a great moment in the movie and in this whole act, because it's actually escalating us. It's escalating the core conflict of the story up until this point. So Fred starts some kind of shit. He asks, you know, how did you get inside my house? He skips ahead, right? Notice the thing that he says, how did you get inside my house? Is not only an acknowledgement that what the mystery man is saying, and not only an acknowledgement the mystery man is actually in two places at once, actually in his house, it's an acknowledgement that they have met before, right? Fred doesn't remember, but they've met before. Everything the mystery man has been saying in the conversation up to this point must be true. Fred admits it. And the mystery man has a response to this. Well, you invited me. It's cryptic. You know, thing. How'd you get to someone else? You invited me. It's not my custom to go where I'm not wanted. So again, it's very cryptic. We don't know what he means. Fred doesn't know what he means. But this idea that somehow Fred has brought it on himself is being proffered here by the mystery man. Not only do you not remember meeting me before, but you don't even remember inviting me. You know, you're the one who started this and I'm here to finish it, right? Is the sort of the implicit subtext here. And then Fred finally asks boldly and blankly the thing he's been avoiding asking the whole time, right? Who are you? Who are you? I want to just highlight that this constitutes the scene's crisis moment. Up until this point, Fred has been avoiding asking, who are you? Mr. Man says, hey, you know, we met before. Fred doesn't say, who are you? Fred's like, because what the mystery man wants is him to say, who are you, right? Mystery man wants him to acknowledge the presence of the mystery man in his life. That's what this whole thing is about. Not only is, you know, have we met before, but I am, you know, I've been in your life for some time. You brought me into your life and now I'm here and I'm not leaving and I'm here and I'm a threat and I'm powerful. And I'm more powerful than you. I have power unknown, right? Like all these things are sort of in the background here. And Fred, you know, the only way that Fred knows how to push back on that is to deny it. But once he asks, who are you? He has acknowledged that everything the mystery man is saying and suggesting is the case. And Fred is utterly powerless, doesn't even know the guy's name. You can almost even think back to the sort of, you know, sort of idea in like supernatural, you know, mysticism, that if you know a demon's name, you might have power over it, right? The mystery man is sort of acting in a manner like this. You know, Fred is sort of completely, the subtext here is the total powerlessness of Fred, he's now admitting to. And of course, as soon as he admits it, as soon as the mystery man gets what he wants, he just laughs and asks for his phone back and walks away. So that's the sort of the crisis, is the biggest possible thing that Fred could do is, you know, ask the mystery man on the phone as opposed to the mystery man in front of him, completely admit. The fallout of this, you know, you know, the crisis, the climax, sort of asking, how'd you get inside my house? Who are you? You know, asking the questions, making that acknowledgement that he's been avoiding making the whole conversation. The fallout of that, the climax, is the mystery man laughing and then wandering away. He's got what he wants. The scene is over, right? The conflict has resolved negatively for Fred because, you know, it's just created this situation now where everything that was a problem in Fred's life now has been completely absorbed and pulled into this. And, you know, everything's been tied together, pulled into this. All his problems have been sort of superseded by this new problem that apparently he has had all along and maybe is the root of his other problems, he may suspect. That's this mystery man, you know, is here. And he's, of course, not going away. So this is sort of the way to look at this scene structure. You won't always see a scene that is so well structured. But I would say that this is a great example not only of how scenes can be structured or often are structured when they're really well done, but, you know, a nice model for a scene. It not only is a well-structured scene with a lot of great writing in it, it's fascinating from the point of view of, you know, what's happening in it is startling. You know, the whole phone call where he answers the phone, like, it's a very simple scene on the level that it's just two people talking and then a guy calls another guy on a phone. We don't even cut to the house or anything. It's a very simple setup. It's a very simple scene. It's a very simple, you know, conversation. It's very short. It's very low key on one level. You know, they're very, they're not having like a drag down fight here or anything. They're just sort of talking at a party. From as far as onlookers are concerned, you know, they're literally surrounded by people who don't think that there's anything unusual going on over there. It's very subtle in that sense, but at the same time, it's a bombastic, tremendously, you know, shocking and startling and, you know, disturbing scene. Not the least because of how they've made up Robert Blake.